All right, so we're here with the Inner Circle. Now, the question I'd wanted to ask Adrian is, we've talked a bit, and obviously if you've listened to the main podcast, you'll have heard us talk a lot about, how to perform over Zoom and how you as the magician can kind of create a presentation that's compelling and true to yourself and stuff. One question we didn't get to that I'd love to hear Adrian's input or take on is, how have you found is the most effective way to engage the audience over Zoom? Because it's not like, I guess it depends who you're performing for, but when you're performing in person, sure, there's a lot of people in the audience, but there's only kind of really one audience, right? It's in front of you. Whereas on Zoom, you might have like 10 different people all kind of joined from different places and laptops and different environments in the background and maybe different circumstances and distractions. And what have you found to be the main difference between audience management in person and then over Zoom? And if you have any pointers on that, I'm sure our people would absolutely love to hear it.
Yes, I was worried about on my first shows because I wasn't hearing any applause or any reactions, right? And I tend to rush to the next trick and to the next one and to the next one, and that's what our ego is used to, right? We finish something and people need to applaud or to react, and if you can't hear that, you feel like, oh, I need to do something else and I need to go to the next thing. Right? And the thing is, even if you can hear them, doesn't mean that they are not reacting and they didn't need a time just to think about what just happened. So I think about that we need to be aware of that and take our time in between the things we are doing, even if we don't hear the reactions, because we can watch them react. And if someone has something happening at their homes, like what happened in the interview, that someone knocked at my door and I needed to get the coffee that I ordered, it's fine too, because they are at home and those things can happen to them, right? And I cannot be like, oh, they are not paying attention. Life happens, and they are not in a theater, right? So, of course, we need to try to minimize all those things, the possibility of all those things happening, like ask them to turn out their phones and stuff like that. But if something like that happened, I don't care and I don't feel bad at all. It's just the way it is. But of course, I try to get the most attention of them. And I try to ask them to have the screen with the videos on, and I'm performing and I have all the time the gallery view or almost all the time the gallery view on my show, so I'm aware of the things that are happening on their houses. And another thing that I do that I find that is really useful is to have their names on the whole time, so I can be watching the gallery view and everyone's name on it. And I can talk to those person immediately, just by name. And I think that is a good thing, because we tend to forget our spectator's name more
And
often.
maybe that's even an advantage, right? Because if you're doing it in person, unless you've gone and
Yes.
memorized everybody's name, you wouldn't have that.
Yes. We sadly we do that more often than we want to admit. So it's one of those things that I want to work on, but over Zoom, we can do it right away. We can be watching their names, right? And we can take as an advantage the things that are happening on their homes, and we can create funny moments and stuff like that. So I think my advice is, do not rush through the show. They are having fun, and let them take the time to react, even if you don't hear them, before you go to the next piece.
And something that I'm curious about, just as a follow-up, you said you have them on gallery view, so like you can see them on gallery, but in terms of the audience themselves, right, they're watching from home. Do they only see you, or do they? Because I feel like a big part of when you're watching magic is seeing everybody else around you also reacting, and
No,
they go crazy, you go crazy.
I just try to have someone spotlight with me the whole show. I mean, in every routine, I need someone to help me. So most of the time, Only when I do the René trick, I'm the only one spotlight, because you just need to see the cars. You don't need to see nothing else. But on the other tricks that are interactive and that I'm playing with them, almost all the time there is someone else with me. So you just need to see one spectator as in a real show that is on the stage with the magician, and you will see the reaction, and it's going to be fine. And that's all that you need to convey that those reactions. And on some tricks, I have more than one spectator with me, spotlight. So I try to play with that just to make them watch different persons and different reactions.
Yeah.
And from time to time, someone unmutes themselves and start reacting too. So that is good.
Yeah.
You can ask them to do that. And you know, I have this crazy idea. I haven't tried, but I had this idea that you can have a recording of someone saying stuff like, "Oh, that's amazing," something like that, and you can play those things when you end a trick, right? So you can have like these reactions that are not real, but it's like when you are watching a TV show, when you hear the laugh of the audience, you know that is not
there. I was just thinking that. Yes, yeah.
But maybe those things can help a little to get the feeling if you think that you need that in your show. But I don't think I need that resource. Mm. But it was a funny idea.
It's like football games right now, right? They've got like the fake audience. Or at least, I don't know if you've heard them, but like all the Premier League, everything right now has like the fake reactions in the back that someone's just like controlling, because we're so used to it.
And I didn't even notice, bro. I was watching a football game the other day. Literally, the stands are empty. There's nobody there. But literally, because I could hear the crowd, I thought there was people there. It makes no sense, but it works.
Yes, it's something that we are used to hear, so it makes sense. But yes, and you can use that even for gags, right? You can have someone record you something that can be funny. Or something. Imagine this: you are doing a show, right? And someone says the right thing in the right place, and it's funny. Right. It's a funny thing that they tell you, and at that point, you know that this is going to be a really good gag on the show. Mm-hmm. But you cannot reproduce it because you are not going to have that spectator all the shows. So you can record that. You can ask someone just to pretend to say that. And you just can put the audio in that part of the show, right? And you will have that funny moment in every show. So why not to take advantage of that if you can? I don't feel like it's cheating. It's part of the thing. Like, it's part of the theater, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when they have it. I'm not like a theater expert, but I swear I do remember hearing about stuff like that. Similar, you know, where they like have. Like even maybe I can't remember the example, but yeah, well, even when it's like live theater, they'll have similar kind of like people in the audience kind of like spurring on reactions or like leading the calls for certain stuff and forcing
the encore. There's a moment in the show that goes wrong, which is like a London show where they do that, when they need someone to say a line.
If you think about the Copperfield TV specials, right? And you have this lady in the audience in front row with the... I don't know how to say this in English, but you know, the binoculars is were those things that you put in your eyes so you can see from far away that you take on safari. What is the name of that device?
Well, binoculars. I think you got it.
Yes, binoculars. So he has this gag that this lady is on the first row and she's watching the show with that, right? And of course, it's not a real person. Probably is something that is staged, right? But you can use that gag. So I believe that you can do something similar with this recording. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people should get like a standing ovation feeling after they do every trick, right? It's not like that. It's just a small oh wow, or just a funny thing that can help to convey the reactions. Nothing more than that.
Yeah, I'm imagining now. Actually, there's a quote by I think it's by Ahneman, right? Theodore Ahneman, where he says about like, you know, if I can't remember the quote exactly, but like he's perfectly happy employing 99 stooges to fool one person. And I'm just imagining as we talk about this, like you do this live show and one guy is there live, right? And the rest of it is just pure like recorded audience. You can do all kinds of crazy stuff, but I don't think economically you'd be making enough money from one guest, but you could definitely play with their mind.
Yes, that would be funny. Yes, it's that is the idea. Just to improve the show, not your ego. Just to do something that can improve the experience from the audience. It's the same that we have been talking before, right?
All right, one last thing. I wasn't meaning to ask this, but it literally popped into my head a minute ago, and now I'm curious. You've released like quite a few Zoom effects and stuff, but do you have like a personal favorite of, because obviously there's been a few other people who've put some stuff out. Do you have any that have come along and you've been like, oh, that's sweet, I'm going to add that to my repertoire? Or even if you don't do it on your show, you've still thought it's a pretty cool trick. Like, do you have any kind of shout outs for tricks you've enjoyed that have come out over lockdown?
From the ones I created, you say?
No, from, well, I mean like from everyone else, right? Because I'm saying you've created a bunch, but are there any other magicians out there where you've been like, oh, that's a good idea, like I should have thought of that, or that's amazing, I'm going to add that to my show?
Oh, I haven't seen a trick that especially caught my attention for Zoom, but what I've seen is many good shows. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really well thought, and I just admire that more than just a trick, right? And I've seen Jason Suran, which is from New York too, and he has this great show. This everything makes sense, and you have a 1 hour show that is really, really good. And I was like, oh wow, I wish I have a show that as good as his. Regarding a specific trick, I haven't seen a specific trick just for Zoom that I was like, oh, I hope I was thought about that before. I don't
have maybe a couple of maybe David Blaine ones that you're not allowed to talk about, but we'll find out about them maybe in a few months. That's cool, man. We appreciate it.
I'm developing a new one which I'm really proud of. I think it is. It's really good, and I think people is going to like. And that's the new favorite that I have now, because it's the one that I'm playing with. But you will be able to see it in a few weeks, I think.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for it. We'll keep up people posted. We appreciate it, man. We probably went a little bit longer than we thought, but we just enjoyed talking to you. Just to end things out, quiero practicar mi español. Así que, como se dice, gracias por hacer esto. Lo apreciamos mucho. Fue un placer.
Thank you. One final thing regarding the thing that you asked me, because this importance is something that happened to me this year. I was paying much attention to the tricks that were coming out on the market, because I just wanted to know what is going on with the magic industry around the world, right? And for many, many, many years, almost every week, I was spending hours just watching the different sites that sell tricks and stuff like that. And because this year I started to do my stuff and spend more time trying to think of new effects and new tricks and new ideas, I realized that I start losing interest on watching other tricks from other performers. I was too much into trying to create stuff, right? And also not get influenced, because we all know that we saw something that we like and we just tried to do something similar and just to remain more original. I just tried to avoid those things, right? And then I discovered that I really enjoyed trying to figure out things instead of watching other guys' material. And I started enjoying more watching them perform the tricks instead of me learning them, right? And I think that has also to do with your question about if I have seen something on the market. I think I was so into trying to create for the first time in my life that I just spent less time doing those kind of things, and I think it's not bad at all. I'm happy with the result, so I think that's another thing that I've learned on this process.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much, Adrian. We'll close up the recording there. Everyone in the inner circle enjoyed that one, or if you have the Daily Magician tapes. And yeah, thank you again, Adrian.
No, thank you, guys. My pleasure.